Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the first service, we started looking at, just following up with the camp meeting series, the sacred place, what to look out for in church. Now, I'm just going to reiterate what I said on Wednesday. I said also in earlier service. And I spoke about focus, remember? So I just repeat myself. As believers, and generally all we do, we need to know what our priorities are. And your priority will determine the kind of focus you have in life. And focus is so important. In Luke's Gospel 10, we found where Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha must have been the owner. She was the elder of the two. And, you know, as she got in there, there were so many things that Martha wanted to do. She, you know, of course, she made the house, you know, she, like, accommodating, welcoming for Jesus, definitely. She went to the kitchen, as we call it now, making food for him. And, you know, Jesus was teaching, right? But she was doing something else that was equally important. No, I won't say equal, but was also important. And right there, Jesus is teaching. She's right there making food. Again, along the lines, she's also focusing on Mary. Jesus, why not ask Mary to come and assist me? So a lot of things were taking our attention. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. That's why today we have people called Martha's Ministry. That's really terrible because, people that cook for brethren, she's the head of the Martha Ministry. I don't think it's not a joke. You know, I remember one time I went to speak at a church. So there was this sister special coordinator or something. So she didn't attend the session. So I asked her, it's because of you. Eh? She said, I want to make your food. Did I tell you I was coming hungry? You didn't sit down. The meeting said, yes, I just meet. I said, no, that's not a good attitude. That, you know, what would make me really happy was the fact that you sat there and you learned the word of God and you were blessed. And that's not a good thing to be doing. You know, and we can get very distracted. She thought she could be hearing the word, making food, focusing on her sister at the same time. But Jesus said, you are careful about many things. Your sister Mary has chosen a good part. It shall not be taken away. So one thing is needful. So one thing is needful. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, let your eye be single that your whole body be full of light. So focus is important. So I told you on Wednesday, when you are doing many things, you are what? Distracted. Right? When you are doing everything, you are distracted. Are you here? Don't get distracted. You can't do many, you can't do everything. Find out one thing God wants you to do in your life. Find out. We said if you are doing everything, you are distracted. If you are doing anything, you are confused. You can't be doing anything. And I said in the first episode, you know that footballers called anywhere below this. That is, if they face like this, that's where they're going to shoot the ball. Even their own goalpost. There's a team like that. All the four goals were scored by their players, including their captain. That's the way of demons. Red devils. You know, you can't be doing anything. As a church, as a ministry, you can't be doing anything. I said, when you are doing nothing, you are what? You are in trouble. You cannot be doing nothing. So if you are doing everything, you are distracted. If you are doing anything, you are confused. If you are doing nothing, you are in trouble. But if you are doing one thing, and put your energy there, put your attention there, put your focus there. I was telling someone during the week, I said, your problem is you have an identity crisis. You can't see yourself in the light of the word of God. You want to see yourself in the light of God's word and how people see you. So you want to manage two personalities. I said, no, you have to choose one. And let the other one be built around who you really are. So you have to look at your focus. And I'm going to repeat that again during this month. You need to be focused. What's a focus? Which means that you don't try to do everything. You don't try to do anything. You don't try to do nothing. You find out the will of God and you focus on it. Hallelujah. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, I'll just run through that quickly. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, which is a pointer to the fact that you and I must read the Old Testament. The context of New Testament books is the Old Testament. Matthew's Gospel 28, again, and verse 20, a text we're coming back to in a moment. He says in verse 18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. Then he says in 20, you need to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Of course, we've looked at the phrase end of the world. I may talk about it again next week. Just touch it all over again. But I mentioned, I'll talk about this later on. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. So Jesus is presented here as God. Alright, so it's all of them you're given to me. That takes you back to Genesis 1:1, showing you he's the person being spoken of in Genesis 1:1. Lo, I am with you is God's name of redemption, Exodus, salvation. I am with you always till the end of the world. In Mark's Gospel 1:1, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just like Matthew 1:1, the book of genealogy. Well, genealogy there means Genesis. Mark is asking you to go back to Genesis. So we said that to understand New Testament books, you read backwards, right? You read backwards, because that's the context. The context of a book cannot be an unwritten book. Right? The context of a book, now, the future of a book might be an unwritten book, but the context of the book is a book that been before it. The New Testament's context, the Old Testament books. Mark 16 and 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons as well as devils. They shall speak with new tongues. 18. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. So after the Lord has spoken to them, he was brought to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now he uses the word Lord for Jesus, showing you he is God. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, Adonai. He says in 20. So they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with, Lord there's you saying, walking with them, and them stylized, and confirming the word with signs following them. So if Jesus is walking with them, he's God. That means he has a multiplied presence, which is God. So he is Lord who is with them. Luke's Gospel 1:1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth the declaration of those things which are Moses shall be among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning are witnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect assignment from all things, that to write unto thee in all the most excellent theophilus, that thou mayest know the sending of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now we said, again, this is, now let me just point this out, make it to see the connection. Now, in Mark 1:1, it says the beginning of the gospel, and I would say that Mark takes you back to Isaiah, and Malachi. Now if you go to Isaiah and Malachi, you're going back to Exodus, because they are all referring to Exodus. Exodus takes you to Genesis. Now, critically, look at this Luke. By addressing a Gentile, a non-Jew, Luke takes us to the beginning in a very systematic way. Because the creation of the Jews, or the Jewish nation, came up in Exodus. Genesis is all nations. All nations. Jew, Gentile. There was no Jew anyway. There was no Israel, as it were, as a nation, until the Exodus. So from the Exodus, a nation was birthed. And the reason why there was a nation called Israel is because of all the nations of the earth. Luke, therefore, gives us that aspect or part of Jesus' ministry that deals with the non-Jews. The non-Jews. The book of Luke is just like that. And don't forget, the book of Luke is the A part of the book of Acts. So you need to read Luke to get to Acts, and Acts also to get to Luke. Now, Luke's Gospel 24 and verse 25, very important. Upon his resurrection, he said to them, that's Jesus, O fools and slow of heart, Luke 24, 25, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now notice again, he goes back to Genesis, beginning at Moses. So there is definitely a systematic way of reading the Bible where you must read from the beginning. The beginning is Genesis. I'm coming to that in a moment. Then in 44, it says that these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. It goes the same route. Now, if someone is mentioned this often, then you must pay attention to the how. There is a how of reading the Bible. Now, like I've said to you over the years, you don't say the Bible says if you are referring to a verse of the Bible. The Bible says is when you have systematically read 66 books of the Bible and you can come to its conclusion. You don't conclude on a verse or two verses, not even three verses. You conclude by reading scriptures together. So Luke says here in 45 that Jesus opened eager understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So understand the scriptures means to read them together. The word suinemi. So Bible study is not tea party. It's not a snack. It's not something you just read by the sense. Okay, the Bible says, no. You must be deliberate to read the scriptures with the intention of understanding the entire volume of the book. In John's Gospel 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the four books we have read, three of them are called synoptic. The other one is the Gospel of John. Altogether, they are the four Gospels. They all emphasize beginning. Matthew 1:1, genealogy, Genesis. Mark 1:1, beginning of the Gospel. Luke 24:25, beginning at Moses, verse 27. Then John 1:1, which means that it is therefore a laid down principle of reading scripture to begin in Genesis. An understanding of Genesis will tell you what the plan of God's word, of the scriptures are. If you pick the scriptures from the middle, you will lose the meaning of many things. So it's, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And we said this word here is not a speech. It's not even sayings. It's the Hebrew word dabar, D-A-B-B-A-R, or we can call it the word of the Lord. What's the word of the Lord? A visibility of God where he is seen, heard, and understood, experienced. That word of the Lord, John is saying, is Jesus. John 20 and verse 23. Precisely verse 22. Or let's say 21. Then said Jesus to them, peace unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. To breathe will mean he's God, which is the word emphusao in the Greek. I told you before, if you take that part to the Old Testament, the first time you see that word breathe is Genesis 2:7. Jesus breathed in Adam. Now, so this already shows by John that this is God. Receive ye the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, are remitted there, verse 23. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So we have a principle that we must abide with. And that is just like Jesus and Paul and all the apostles, we must read the Old Testament to understand the new. Now we're looking at the sacred place or sacred space. What to look for in a church. Now, I said this in the first episode, I just gave an allusion to it. Now, when something has been abused for long and misused for long, usually people will not know what it's for. Now, when we talk about church today, a good number of people that I know don't even know what church is. And that's why when we had I keep saying this part because I need to emphasize it. When we had the lockdown, the COVID era, and everybody had to stay home for whatever reasons, you know, for legal reasons, people came up with online churches. And, you know, I was asked, they said, what do you think about it? I said, there's really nothing called online church. There's nothing like that. It's a misnomer. It doesn't exist in God's word. I said, it has no biblical meaning. Because church cannot be without a place. So that takes it. You need to understand what church is first to have an online church. It can't happen. Now, we could create our own definitions and be fine with it. Now, you can transmit a church service. When we're camp meeting, we transmitted the meetings. That's not church. That's a transmission of a service. But you see, the thing is that, why are we saying it? Because if we're not careful, what was permitted now become a custom. It's not the word of God, to stay in your house and claim to have gone to church. That's not the word. That may be acceptable to people, but it's not acceptable to God. So if things lose their meaning with use, it's like worship. You know, sometimes I say praise worship. Praise is fast, worship is slow. I know you have heard that before, right? Praise is fast, worship is slow. So when we start worship, we say, when we're going to start praise worship, we fall so slow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we have entered into your presence. I say, call our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You think that's normal? That's abnormal, really. Worship has nothing to do with the pace of the songs. We'll see that also in the teaching. So if something loses its meaning with use, with abuse, abuse can make things lose their meaning. And I've said it to you also, where scripture is misinterpreted. Oftentimes, a major truth is lost. A major one is lost and missing. So we're looking at the sacred place. What is church? When you are going for a church service, where are you going to? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, watch this. But if I tarry long, we'll talk next week about your physical presence, why it's important. You notice that all the apostles, after writing letters, and knowing that there were church meetings, kept talking about, I want to see you. I have to see you. I need to see you. Now look at this. It says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. It says, the house of God. The house of God. So he calls our gathering as the house of God. Now that word house is the Greek word oikia. O-I-K-I-A from the word oikos. O-I-K-O-S. Now that word has a multilateral meaning. It means a household in a family house. A household in a family house. Oikia is not abstract. It requires a physical gathering. The house of God. Now, as the custom should be, we go back to where? To interpret this where? The Old Testament, or what we call it, the Old Testament. To interpret what is the house of God. When we say the house of God, what are we talking about? Now, quickly go to Genesis 28. Now, in the first service, we're taking some traction on this. I'm just going to start from there. Genesis 28. Where that phrase, house of God, was primarily first used. Genesis 28. Now, in Genesis 28, you know, Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac now had Jacob. Now, we've done this study that God called Abraham to go to a land. And that land required a surveyor. Huh? An architect? No. Required what? Revelation. Abraham sought that land by revelation. Was it on Friday or Thursday? Myself and one of the brothers in church were coming together. So he gave me, he now found this tape in my mom's car. The Beautiful People of the Beloved Country. And I would say that's Believers Convention 2004. Where we explained what I'm saying now. That Abraham was called he wasn't going to Canaan, he was going to a city of people. That what God gave him wasn't a natural place. And I explained it that. They said, oh, that's lovely. The Beautiful People of a Beloved Country. Maybe I should ask them to upload it one of these days. It's going to take some editing. Hallelujah. So he was called to go to a place. That place was not a physical location. It was referring to a people in a place. Isaac was called for the same thing. Now when he came to Jacob, he was going somewhere in verse 11. tied upon a place and tied there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of the place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. Let's take 12 together. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it, what? So hold on. So what we have here is heaven and earth. Pay good attention. Heaven and earth in the same place. Go on. And behold, let's go. The angels of God ascending and descending on it. Let's take 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And God of Isaac, the land where you lie, to thee will I give thee. Now, if he says the land where you lie, where is he lying? It's not a physical land. Because already you have seen heaven and earth is in the same place. So this heaven and earth, where you are, pay attention, heaven and earth in the same place, where you are, I will give you and your seed. So heaven and earth, where you are, I will give to you and your seed. That's what he's talking about. Let's go on. Then, verse 14, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to thee. And that's not overseas, amen? To the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall what? All the families of the earth. So watch this. Heaven and earth in the same place. Pay attention. Different people from different nations in the same place. So, which means that God is talking to him about a union. Union of what? What, number one? Come on. Union of what? Heaven and? The union of what? Different people. So, union of heaven and earth. Union of different people. Now look at 15. Let's go. Let's read 15 together. And behold, I am with thee. Shall I keep thee going? Shall I keep you in all places where you go? We'll bring thee unto the land that lead thee until I've done that which I've. So, what other union is here? God and man. So, let's go over again. The first union. Second one. Then the third one. God and man. So, here's Jacob. He gets out of his sleep. Oh, wow. 16. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but what? The house of God. Why? What is present here? God? God is there? Supernatural beings? And man. So God, man, supernatural beings. He said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So the house of God is, pay attention, the union of heaven and earth. The house of God is a union of heaven and earth. The house of God is a union of different kinds of people. The house of God is a union of God and man. Let's take it again. The house of God, had this one, is a fellowship of heaven and earth. The house of God is a fellowship of all nations. The house of God is the fellowship of God with man. So, is the house of God a supernatural creation or a supernatural creation? Is it a natural creation or a supernatural creation? Okay, does it have a physical identity or a spiritual identity? Good. It has a spiritual, supernatural identity. So, the gathering of believers, or let's speak again, let's get back to that again. The house of God is heaven on earth. Or heaven in the earth. That is the house of God. Another name for this is temple of God. Temple of God. the temple of God. And you see, in Matthew 28, so let's take again. So the house of God is union of what? Number two? Number three? So let's see Matthew 28. Let's go. Let's see. So another name for temple is what? Since coming to church? Heaven and earth. Are we here? So let's go. Matthew 28, 18. Let's see. Jesus came and spake to them saying, 18, all authority is given me where? Not the temple? House of God? Huh? Come on. So, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. 20. Lo, I am. So, do we have the three things there? Heaven, all, and God. See that? So, this is the house of God. Heaven and earth. This is the Genesis reality. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I've said to you many times, this is not a science story. No one who wrote this had a knowledge of scientific innovations or creation. That was not what they were talking about. Did they use nature to explain supernatural things? Yeah, sure, of course. But when it says in the beginning, we said the word beginning here is the Hebrew word reshith, R-E-S-H-I-T-H. It is usually for a period of time, or, watch this, first fruit, or the chiefest thing, the most important thing. So the most important thing, a period of time, the first fruit of the harvest. So it doesn't always mean time before time began. No. Now this beginning is an ongoing fact. We are still in that beginning. We are approaching the end of that beginning, because that beginning is a period when something is done. Reshith. When something is done. So we have said that this is a house and what? Home story. Remember that? It's a house and home story. God began and he is still building his home in his house. This is a story here. Now Genesis 2, verse 1 and 2 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of the... Now we've done this study before, and we saw that that word finished was used in the tabernacle. Where else? In the temple that Solomon... Can you remember? Solomon built. So he says here, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. Let's take three together. And God blessed the seventh day. Genesis 2, are you here? And, okay, sanctify means to make it holy, because he had rested. Now rest here means your resting place. There are two words that go with it. The word Shabbat, where you have Sabbath. And then the word Nuach, N-U-A-C-H, your rest place. So this is a house story. A home and a house story. Heaven and earth refers to God's tabernacle. Revelation 21. And verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, we have described heaven and earth as describing what? What about the sea? Outside the temple. It's called the sea. So, it has passed away. When Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, heaven and earth will pass away, he was talking about what? The temple. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. Talking about the first temple will pass away. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city. So he calls the heaven and earth a city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared what? As a bride. So he calls the city a bride. He calls Jerusalem a bride. Adorned for a husband, describing the church. Let's take three together. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. So heaven and earth describes the church. The church. Heaven and earth is the reality of the church. So the church of Jesus Christ is a heavenly reality. Heaven is not where dead people go. Heaven is not where dead people go. Heaven is God's control towers, call that. Heaven is a supernatural world. Look at Paul. Ephesians 1. Are you in church? Ephesians 1. Now Paul is praying here. He says in verse 17, the eyes of your understanding may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of him. Now look at 18. The eyes of your understanding, just like Jacob, just like Abraham, he says you will need revelation. Because it took revelation for Abraham to see it. It took revelation. Okay, put your hands, let me show you something. Put your hands in there. Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Talking about the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, 1. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. Now let's go to Abraham. Let's take 8 together. By faith. We're going to read this for a while. We're going to read to verse 16. Let's go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go to a place which you have for receive of mentors, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same. 10. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. 11. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she had passed age because she judged him faithful who had promised. 12. Therefore, sprang there 7, even of one, him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as sand which is by the seashore innumerable. 13. These all died in faith. Now have received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 14. Desire, plainly, that they did seek a country. 15. If truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. 16. Now they desire a better country. That is what? Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So Abraham was not called to the Middle East. Is that clear? He was called to a supernatural people. Now look at Hebrews 12, 22. Let's go. All of us. Let's go. But, Hebrews 12, 22. Now don't say ye, say we. Alright? So let's go. But we are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. So, what are we called to? We are called to the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at 23. To the general assembly. To the church of the first are written where? To God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men. So, this is a heavenly gathering. Is that clear? And there are supernatural beings here. Yeah, and that includes you. So, a church service, a church meeting, is a heavenly service. Now go to Ephesians 1. Get back to Ephesians 1. Now look at 18. The eyes of your understanding, go back there, Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is also to come. Look at 22. Let's take 22 together. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to where? The church. Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all. Now, I explained something earlier on in the first service. When you say body of Christ. Now, you know in John 2, when Jesus said, we'll come back to that also. He says, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Says a house of prayer. Mark 11, 17, John 2, 16, 17. Then, he said, destroy this temple after 3 days, I'll raise it again. And then, he said, what do you mean? You know how many years it took us to put up this temple and all that. But John now says, he spoke of the temple of his body. Now, I said in the first sentence that he wasn't referring to the physical body. That the word body means union. For example, when we say, Nigeria Bar Association, we say, that is the body of lawyers. It means, it doesn't mean the physical body of lawyers. Hallelujah. It means different lawyers together, right? In one association. So when you say body, you mean association. You mean union. Association, union is called body. So when we say body of Christ, we mean union with Christ, right? Association with Christ. That's what body means. So, in the resurrection, what he built and is building is that union of heaven and earth. Union of mankind. Union of God and man. So now look at this. He gave these things to his body. Our union with him. Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 4. For God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Let's take 5 together. 6 and 7. Let's go. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. 6, let's go. And he raised us up and made us sit where? Now, are we in the body of Christ? Are we in heaven? Good. So, the body of Christ is a heavenly union. The body of Christ is a heavenly union. The body of Christ is God's family. In chapter 2, verse 19, he calls it the household of God. Now, look at 21, chapter 2. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into an holy temple in the Lord. 22. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God, where? Through the Spirit. So he calls us an habitation of God through the Spirit. So the church of God is his sacred place. His holy place. It's a holy ground. Now go back to Genesis 28 again. We must recognize and make a distinction between the house of God and other places. Genesis 28. Jacob came out of that revelation. Then he said, surely, look at 16. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So, is it possible for God to be somewhere and you don't know? Yeah. It's possible to come to the house of God and not recognize it. And how would you know, or how would we know that you don't know? It will show in your attitude. Because your attitude shows the kind of knowledge you have. See, I didn't know it. Now, the problem here was not knowing, because when he says, I knew it not, now he knows. Because he saw it. He saw it by revelation. So, you cannot recognize a church service without revelation knowledge. You cannot recognize a church meeting without revelation knowledge. It takes revelation knowledge to know a church meeting. So when Paul was talking to Timothy, know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. You cannot see it as the house of God on the billboard. It's not the house of God because of the kind of building that you use. It's the house of God by revelation knowledge. Now, for Paul to give the instruction, you know how you should behave yourself. That means a person can misbehave in the house of God. Now, let me show you something quickly. Now, from our study so far, because of time, we won't go into that again. What was the first sacred area in the Bible? Huh? What did you say? Stamford Bridge. A useless place. You want to argue? What's the first place? Garden of Eden, right? It's called the Garden of God. But did you see that God gave man, Genesis 2:15, the responsibility to keep it so? Right? He gave him responsibility. And what did we see in chapter 3? Satan, or let's say the Nakash, came in. So the very first sacred place in the Bible, which is in the earth, we found the Nakash, the serpent. He was saying, who told you you're naked? Who? How did you hit right there? Why? Because God has given us the responsibility to minister over, to safeguard his sacred areas. Hallelujah. That's the thing. He gave us our responsibility. He gave us that responsibility. So in John 2, notice what Jesus said in John 2. He got to the temple. John 2. And he said to them in 16. Let's read it together. John 2, 16. Let's go. He said to them that sold those. Take these things and. Let's go. Make not. Stop there. Now, that means it's possible for us to change what it is. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. So which means it's possible for us to abuse, misuse the gathering of believers. We said the gathering of believers is God's house, right? Can we abuse it? Yes. Can we misuse it? Yes. We can. Now the first thing is that we can be ignorant and think that there is no difference between this gathering and another function somewhere. And sometimes we do that. You find people say, let's bring in what they do in parties. Let's bring it. And you find churches sometimes, they will hire those guys to come and play the music. And they'll play the music and everybody is just enjoying themselves. There's one party like that that we went for. It was supposed to be a Christian engagement party. 1997, about November. And they brought these guys to be singing songs. So the guy, it was a fellowship, a church choir. But they decided to go, party. So they were singing the church songs. So people were, dance across the line. People were dancing. And you see in the church. So the sisters now turned their backside and were shaking it. You know what you now call twerking. Right there, they were dancing and everybody was enjoying. Ah, my friend said, TJ, what's going on here? I said, are you asking me? This is obvious, it's a party. But the point was, you know, the place, there are sang so many Christians. So I think at some point, they had exhausted all the non-Christian songs for Tuba. So they just got to the point. In the place, I'm talking about a Christian choir. Baby, be sure to call on. You know, naturally, people just say, ah, bro, they just float. It was so interesting. I didn't remember what was there that day. It was so interesting. Because they told me, this just, you know, party. And they went overboard. Now, if these guys could make it a house of merchandise, it means we can turn the church to something else. Why would Paul give instruction? Behave yourself. There's church behavior. Did you hear me? There's a behavior. And you know, I'm not talking about Sunday service. The moment we gather in his name, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. Is that a sacred place? So in a secret place, what do we do? Now the first thing we said is that it takes revelation knowledge to know what a church service is. And that people, you need to renew your mind. Maybe you've been to different churches and they've done different kind of stuff. You need to renew your mind and say, no, this is not church. Church comes with an attitude. It comes with an attitude. In Mark 11 and 17, it says, Mark 11 and 17, it says, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer of all nations? But you have made it. You have made it. And I mentioned this in the first service. Imagine someone, a visitor, or you brought someone into your house to live with you. It's your house, like the other video is God's house, to live with you. And the guy just says, I don't think, you brought him to live with you. I don't think, from what I know, I don't think you should have the chairs there. Then he moves it by himself. He's suggesting to you. Then he moves the chair back. He said, the dining room should not be there. I don't think. I mean, this is basic. He brought him inside, though. He moves it. He said, oh boy, whose house? Does it matter? The most important thing is whether it is right or wrong. You say, you're not even a tenant, and you're acting like this. Imagine how we think we can change the house of God. And say, well, it will be boring now. You mean, is that what I'm going to be doing in church? No. What did that pastor? This is not how the church should look like. Church should be lively. He said, you made it. No, it's not in your power. It's the house of God. It's the house of God. You come in there and behave yourself. Hallelujah. There's a way to behave yourself. And when you know what the place is, one day, I went with my boss. He was the chairman of a company I served in. So we went to an African country. I didn't know that that place was the... Now, because it was a military government then, it was at their defense headquarters. I was not aware. So, I was just marching, walking freely. I mean, I'm talking about the highest organ of the military government. And I went there, I just was walking. I had my suit. I noticed that the soldiers are looking at me. I didn't know why they were looking at them. So, I just walked in and my boss said, what did you do? I said, I just was, he said, do you know this place? I said, I don't know. I just thought it was, He said, You are lucky that the way you walked in. So when he now said, this is the military headquarters. This is where the chief of army staff is, chief of general staff, and the president. I said, I changed the way I was walking. I behaved myself. So now I didn't walk out of the office. I wore a door meeting. I waited till my boss took the first place. So I was walking behind them gently because I wanted to go back to Nigeria in one piece. You get it? When you know, then you behave yourself. Now when you don't know, your phone just goes and say, sorry, I'm in church. Later, it shouldn't take long. This subject doesn't look like it. It's not like a law in Genesis. All this. you're talking to someone. How are you doing now? Where are you going after church? They are teaching them. You go jump in the car park. Because you don't know. Or you know and you have no regard. He says it's the house of God. It's the house of God. Hallelujah. It's the house of, say this is the house of God. This is a heavenly place. Say this is a heavenly place. If you knew this is heaven, how would you behave? Look at Jacob. Say you have made it. Jesus said, you have made it a den of thieves. Go back again to Genesis 28. Are you learning something? So, Saints of the Church, we must take responsibility. Like Adam, how we treat this place, right? We must take responsibility. If we are going to see the glory of God more in these meetings, we have to take responsibility. We have to treat these meetings as special. They have to look, it has to be different. Genesis 28. So what did Jacob do? In verse, say, I did not know it. Now, in 17, he was afraid. I said in the first 7, it's not fear of torment. It's called awe. Awe. Now, he was there before. When he now recognized what God was doing there, he changed his attitude. So it means revelation knowledge should change in your attitude, right? Should change your attitude, right? If you know, it will change the way you behave. Sometimes people wonder why I'm going to service and I run. I went for a meeting last week. And I ran. He thought, they've started. When I was going to the, because it was at a minister's meeting. So I ran. He said, no, they've not started. I said, I know. It's in my culture to be inside 15 minutes before. I ran inside. Why? I know who is there. I know who it's for. No, I don't judge you. And then, have they started the prayer? Because you either don't know God, or God does not know you. Or both. Because if you know where you are going to, you will honor it. You respect it. Look at Jacob. He was afraid. And he said, how dreadful. I read that in the first episode. He said, how awesome is this place? How awesome. He called it awesome. Say, God is awesome here. This is an awesome meeting. It's an awesome gathering. Awesome. What did he do again? Then he took the oil. Now, in their culture, oil has two things. It's a place of respect. It's taken from the olive. The oil. In the Hebrew, the word here is the word shemen. S-H-E-M-E-N. It represents life. Something that's alive. Which means that when you use oil in a place, you are saying it's more than an earthly thing. In their culture. Now, the use of oil is Old Testament, right? But what about the attitude? The attitude Old Testament?
No.
the reverence and honor is not Old Testament. The use of oil is from his culture, just like tithe. Tithe is a culture. Tithe did not come from God. Tithe was already in the Chaldean culture, where they take 10% to respect nobles, to respect, you know, to show honor. The 10% of fruits, 10% of food, and whatever is within the culture. But you see, the attitude of honor is not Old Testament. Where you choose to honor someone with substance is not Old Testament. The use of 10% and fruit and all that is Old Testament, because Old Testament simply means the part of the scripture that is cultural, that God permitted and allowed for some time. But the substance of the practice, the message, is not Old Testament. So when he used the oil, the shemem, and he put it all over the place, he's saying that whatever God is doing, I won't treat as regular. That's what Jacob is doing here. I'm not going to treat a church meeting like any other meeting. What about you? He anointed it. He showed respect. He showed reverence. That's the first thing he does here. Number one is afraid. Then he shows respect. He shows due respect to the place. Jacob. He sees as heaven on earth. He anointed it. And that's our responsibility. To treat the gathering of believers as a place of God's power, God's presence. Not to treat like any other place. Now, why do we tend to do that? It's because it looks like an earthly thing. The venue is earthly. The people have physical bodies. Everything looks, is it not keyboard? Is it not sound? Is it not, and that's because you are carnal. So Paul will tell the church in Corinth, know ye not that you are the temple of God? Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells with you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you have to know. A brother, an elderly minister, was asking me, I said in the first service, I was doing the work for them, presentation, the thesis on the charismatic gifts, so I spoke about the Old Testament, and I said to them, I said, the Old Testament, the way we have denigrated it and just sidelined it, is why we are not seeing the same things. And he said, okay, he asked, if you are saying the Old Testament, New Testament are one and the same, except in the practices, then why are we not seeing those things? The glory cloud, I said, is because of what we see. We have said they are done away with. In fact, sometimes we say that we are not like the Old Testament, they have to feel the glory of God, the glory of God is within. I don't know where that both of them are fighting. Both within and without, are they fighting each other? We say stuff like that. I said, by those words alone, right? We have treated the place with disdain. In fact, you see people that will come to church and they can bring food and bring drinks and sit down, and then they are teaching as you say, well, say no. I say, well, guys, this is the house of God. They say, I am the house. Forget the physical place. It's within. And it's within his gala and his mouth. It's within. It's within. So who is chopping the gala? The within too? It's within. It's within. You know, and we have that irreverence. Well, as the priest of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament books, they said the Lord is good. They raised their hands and his mercy endures. They'll fall on their face. Sometimes the glory of God will knock them down, as it were, because they had respect for the place. That's what Paul was saying. When you come together, he says, and we treat the place as the house of God. Every one of us has a tongue, has an interpretation. He will prophesy. He said, the unbelieving man will come. He said, he will fall down on his face, right? 1 Corinthians 14:25. The Spirit of God has made manifest, he will fall down on his face and worship God. That won't happen because we play good music. That won't happen when we give people Indomie. They just worship your money. That won't happen because we have good people who are there. Those are not bad things. Who are the ushers? Say, you're welcome. Then we put nice carpets and rugs. Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome to church. Are you good today? What about God and His presence? How do we treat the worship? How do we do the prayer? How do we treat the teaching of the word? How do we treat the believers who are there? It's God's sacred place. Hallelujah. You may know how you ought to behave. How do you behave in church? Do you behave like this is God's secret area? This place is sacred to God. It's a holy ground. That means there are things you cannot do here, or you should not do here. There are things you shouldn't do here because of what it is. He said the Lord was here, I did not know. Then he said, this is a holy ground. This is awesome. An awesome place. So it starts with your attitude. Getting here late. I said that in the first episode. You just walked in late. Meanwhile, there are other places you treat with respect. If they gave you an appointment for a visa interview, for some people, they won't sleep. Very early, they said, 7 a.m., you have the 7 a.m. group with the American embassy. And you live in Ogogomaiko. You will not leave that money. You go and stay with a friend. Very close. By 4:30, you're on your way. Say, why? Yeah. I don't want to be late. You've done all your copies. You hold them. You check them again and again overnight. 1, 2, you took out this. Put it together. Your civil accounts. Put it together. Everything. You mark it. You're here. You start, some of you start praying. May I not meet a witch? Or a devil? Who just not like me? So you are going. You get there, you now behave yourself. You know, you're not gonna pay you hold someone's neck. Yeah. Every time you say, why did you not move? They say, I can't move. Like, remove her! Don't play nothing with me! Every person's neck. That's bizarre about your hometown. You behave yourself. You just be here, say good morning. Don't say good morning, you say good afternoon. Because you respect the place. The same you will now come to church late. You say, it's where I live. Why are you talking about the embassy? That way is where you live. But they give you a job interview. They say, this job, so and so is from the United Nations. They're looking for a representative. You'll be collecting $50,000 per day. I know you didn't hear that part. Say the interview is 5 a.m. Say, no biggie. You will say, 5 now, why 5? That's in the place of Lagos, where do you want to be? 5 a.m. Say, just 5. You say, but you know where I stay? Where I stay is far. If I say 5 o'clock, you say, can I stay at the gate? So I say, what about the security? Don't worry, God is my strength. You are giving the angel charge over me. Nothing will happen. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing dies in my heart. You give me speed. You start the gate. Hey, 50K. They are only calculating how to be the king of your town. I will dethrone the other of my town with this kind of money. But when it comes to church, not you. You say, why are you not in service? Why you didn't come to pick me? Why did you join that organization? They went for the interview. Say, when you provide bus now, that's why I did not come for the interview. But, you know what I'm saying is far. To come for your interview, you have to provide bus for me. What do you think we are interviewing for? Owner? The way you say interview for owner. Want to make you owner. You find your way there. Hallelujah. We're doing one church, we're doing the LMA exam. So a brother missed the exam. I would say, why? He said, because he went for someone's wedding. I said, imagine if you were in the university. You want to meet your lecturer. What if you miss a chemistry 405 exam? A very close friend. We've been childhood friends like for like this. That is wedding. I can't miss it, sir. Yeah, I said, it's all right. I understand your sacrifice for your dear friend. And an extra year for your dear friend. Ah, no, sir. Have human feelings now. No. You want to tell your friend, oh boy, I'll send gifts. But if it's church, you try and let us understand. You should understand now. The guy is my real paddy. And I had to go. Because you do not know what we are doing here. The house of God. Say, this is the house of God. Say, this is the house of God. That's what it is. This is the house of God. Your thinking, your mentality has to carry the respect. This is a supernatural assembly. Hallelujah. A supernatural. And I'm not just talking about, I'm saying every one of us, those who are behind the cameras, those who are in the security, what you are doing looks like in the natural. But it is a union of heaven and earth. So you must carry even the natural things in a supernatural way. When you're at work, you have to be diligent, I know. And, you know, do things diligently. But when you're in church, you are both diligent and spiritual in the natural things. This is a secret place. It's the house of God. That's why Paul had to tell them in Corinth, don't you have houses where you can eat and drink? It means it's not everything you do here. And some of us don't know the difference between a concert and a church service where we worship God. People are blessing the Lord and all that, and then they're singing. Somebody brings out his phone. In my mouth there is love. In my mouth there is joy. All I have. Yeah. Phone. We are texting a friend. Omo, the worship here is top notch. This is serious. Come and see worship. Oh, you're on Facebook, text, Twitter. Say, see what? Are you serious at all? This is the house of God. It's a sacred place. And the days to come, as we wear the garments of honor, we're going to see the glory of God in greater demonstrations. In a greater measure. And we're going to have more people recognize God in our services like never before. As we treat his house as a sacred place. Continue next week. You're blessed. Let's stand to our feet. We know.